paradise and put up a fucking lie. Welcome to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food. Brought to you from Sonoma County, not just wine country, but farm country. And as a friend of mine says, if you go for a walk in Sonoma County, you never know who you're going to run into. And that's a good thing because we have a strong tradition here of artists and writers and, of course, craftspeople and potters and sculptors and all kinds of good things. So today our topic is very much focused on one of our legendary locals, I like to call MFK Fisher, the late, great, award-winning writer and memoirist, a legendary local. She lived for the last 20 years or so at Last House. It was her last house. It was the architect David Bouverie's last house, the one he designed, on what is now the Bouverie Preserve in Glen Ellyn. Over the last 7 years, some of us have gotten together to do an emerging writers contest in the spirit of MFK Fisher. She helped anybody and everybody in all ways that she could, particularly in artistic endeavors. And so this is the 7th annual emerging writers contest that we will be talking about shortly, and a lot else. That first year when we did this to kind of elevate the visibility of Fisher and the last house, which was then available for tours, I got to meet Kennedy Golden. Kennedy is MFK Fisher's daughter. Welcome, Kennedy.
Thank you, Clark. It's wonderful to be here.
And since that time, a lot has happened. For almost eight and a half years, Last House was available for tours, and then it needed to go, back to the organization that runs that preserve and others, which was called the Audubon Canyon Ranch and is now called All Hands Ecology. In the process of all of this, Kennedy has been a judge on this wonderful contest, as has her son, Alex Wright, who is with Kennedy, very much involved in a new effort called the MFK Fisher Foundation. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. So you're kind of in what part of California?
Just outside of Sacramento.
All right. On the east side or the west side? We want to visualize these things.
Halfway between Sacramento and beautiful Lake Tahoe.
Beautiful. All right. Well, so today we want to talk about the writing contest. Kennedy, first of all, tell us a little bit about how you feel about this year's and every year's MFK Fisher Emerging Writers Contest.
Well, Clark, that's a fabulous question. I absolutely am thrilled that we are doing this for the 7th year. I've been a judge every single year. I have been passionate about reading the essays that we've received. And this year, it's a little more complicated because I'm actually receiving the essays. And I am trying not to read them because if I do, I read them without names. So I want to be sure that I'm fair and clear when the judging actually comes. But we've received
a lot of
submissions. That's the word.
There you go.
We receive submissions from all over the United States and the world.
Well, yeah, Alex, you're the one who's kind of keeping track on some of these things. If you can tell us, I mean, overall, last year, we have to remember that the overall grand prize winner was an 11-year-old girl from northern France. That number two of the children was from Oakville, but it was Oakville in Canada. And number three came from Singapore. We have three categories. Alex, the three categories are adult, youth, and children. And where are we getting these submissions from this year?
Well, that's, I think, one of the remarkable things. We have submissions from, right now, 15 states, from the UK, from New Zealand, Australia, Qatar, Canada, Bangladesh, India. They're just coming in from all four corners of the world, which is absolutely amazing.
All right. Well, let's talk about this year's theme. Kennedy, do you want to say a word about this year's it's a prompt, right? And it's a theme.
It's a prompt, and it's an absolutely wonderful prompt. And part of the reason that I've been sneaking a peek at some of them is to see how people are paying attention to the prompt and what I'm finding. So the prompt this year is fire. We've been with the elements for the last few years. We wanted to fill that out. We've debated many times whether fire was something that we should put on the table because there are so many different aspects to fire, whether it's passion or cooking or sitting by a hearth or, you know, so many other things. And in fact, the entries that I've looked at so far, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
So many different wonderful things about fire, because fire can be scary and fire can be fabulous. So
it's kind of perfect. And because All Hands Ecology has been our partner up until this point, and they're being very, very helpful and welcoming this year as well, they actually study fire and they realize and teach us that fire is restorative. It clears things out so that new growth can happen, even though it can be dangerous and scary in the meantime. So we have three different categories, and what I love about that is you get different generational aspects of all of it. Alex, tell us where people can go to register and to submit their essays.
Absolutely. The registration is through the easily memorable website, which is mfkfisher.org. And there is a link right to the writing contest from there. And it's an easy sign up. And once you sign up, you will receive instructions about how to submit your essay. There is a $50 charge for adults, but through a generous donation, the registration fees for youth and children have been covered. So there's no charge for youth and children.
That is so wonderful. And by the way, let's brag a little bit. If you've just joined us, that's Alex Wright. He is the vice president of the MFK Fisher Foundation and the grandson of MFK Fisher and a really wonderful graphic artist. If you enjoy the website, it's all Alex's fault. The image for the writing contest, posters and representations and an extra Libris that will go on books somewhere down the road. Alex, what's it like being the grandson of this person that was to you just grandma?
Well, I think that's exactly it. For the majority of time that I was fortunate enough to know her, she was just grandma. Since then, my relationship with MFK Fisher, the author, has deepened. Even more so, every Friday on our social media channels, we do Fisher Fridays. We post quotes from all of her books and books about her. And going through all of the books to find those little nuggets of gold to post has been a phenomenal experience for me, because I'm revisiting books that I may, honestly, if I'm being truthful, may not have read before or may not have read for quite a while.
Yeah. Well, it's very normal. I mean, this is grandma, this is mom, this is, you know, I'm not going to, you know, look at that stuff that my parent actually did. But Kennedy, you grew up obviously traveling with her, living with her. Give people the short intro to her career, to her coming as MFK Fisher so that she could get an appointment with a publisher.
Right. In 1937, she published her first book, Serve It Forth. And she was in Europe at the time. And so she went to London to meet the publisher. And it was not easy publishing a book as a woman in 1937. And so it was not easy getting in the door or having them read your manuscript. So she decided that she would take the initials MFK, which are her initials, and Fisher, which was her married name at that time. And she showed up at the publisher in London, and apparently they were aghast. They had no idea she was female. And I think they straightened themselves up, and clearly they published the book, which was quite wonderful. And she's written under that moniker ever since.
And she's in print. She's in our minds and in our hearts, but she's also in print in many countries around the world.
She is. I just signed a contract for the Latin American countries for Theoretical Foot, which I'm not quite sure why that would be the book that they would choose, but they may have access to plenty of other books. And wherever somebody wishes to publish her and get her out there, I'm totally in favor of it.
Yeah, I mean, we should, and we're in the next segment, we're going to talk about the foundation and why that was formed and what you hope for. But in the meantime, you're the trustee of the Literary Trust, and Alex is the successor trustee. So that means you're keeping a watchful eye on the legacy.
Absolutely. She has a literary agent in New York who's marvelous, Michael Carlisle at Inkwell Management. And I work closely with his staff, his people. When contracts come in, they go out and seek contracts. And there are a great number of books that are published in the United States, in the UK, and all around the world.
I remember we were talking not long ago, suddenly a number of them were out in Taiwan.
That's
and then
correct.
Another, every time we see you have, they're being right. This one is being published in Spain.
That's right.
That must be very moving.
It's thrilling. I love it. And I think she would just be so pleased. And each of these editions is more beautiful than the last. We have some beautiful covers. We as the trust get to say yes and no to the covers to a certain extent, and new intros and everything else. It's just alive.
Well, one of the things that's wonderful about all of this is that the aesthetic experience of life is very important in this context as well. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Kennedy and with Alex about the MFK Fisher Foundation right back here where we all gather at the table. Clark Wolf here with Kennedy Golden, and on the line, Alex Wright. Kennedy is the daughter of the late, great M.F.K. Fisher. Alex is the grandson. And we are talking about the Emerging Writers Contest. We're talking about a lot of really wonderful things, including the M.F.K. Fisher Foundation. I am very privileged to be part of a small group that Kennedy and Alex have gathered to be the board of directors to do this new effort to, let's go to Alex and ask for the mission statement of this new foundation.
We really thought long and hard about what it is that we wanted to do with the foundation. So the mission statement that we developed, the MFK Fisher Foundation has been formed to preserve and promote the enduring legacy of MFK Fisher, exploring deep connections between hunger, both physical and intellectual, and the human experience, which is really what her writing, her philosophy was all about. And so we are hoping to continue those conversations through the foundation.
You know, that's wonderful. And, you know, in order to understand what was meant or what can be meant by what you've just said, you simply have to read her work. I mean, it's a memoir of real life in many contexts. My favorite was when somebody came to me and said, how to cook a wolf. And that's my last name, so I had to duck. But I mean, there's so many of the writers that we love in today's food world were inspired by her. Ruth Reichel among them, right? The great memoirist of our generation. Kennedy, what is the foundation like for you?
Oh, the foundation is so fabulous, and it's becoming more fabulous by the day. We have an amazing board of directors. Thank you so much, Clark, for taking this on. It means a great deal. And we are doing things, which is what we wanted to do. You know, it's hard to start a small foundation. And at the beginning, you know sort of what you want to do, but not completely. So for me to see actual things happening, the fact that we have a sponsor for the children and youth
right.
for the writing contest has, I think, encouraged many, many young people to submit. We have, right now, we have the most submissions from youth, which and a number from children, which I find to be absolutely fascinating. And so for me to have this continuation, we had the tours at Last House for almost 8 years, and now that property has needed to return to All Hands Ecology for use. And it's a beautiful space, and it was wonderful being there for 8 years. But now they have graciously handed us the writing contest, which they had done for 6 years. And so now we're shepherding that, which is so exciting.
It is kind of wonderful to be able to start a new foundation with a clear and moving mission that has a really strong, short, but meaningful history and assets. I mean, not all foundations start with those kinds of intellectual assets. The writing contest has produced some really wonderful writing, right from around the world and from down the road. One of the adult submissions that won the category a couple years ago was a forest ranger who kept driving by on Highway 12 and said, "What is that? What is that?" and looked it up and found the information about Last House, entered the contest, and won the category. Really wonderful. So we're going to be doing a couple of things in the coming months. Alex, tell us a little bit about the lunch that by the time we air this is probably going to be sold out, because it's a very tiny little lunch to celebrate something wonderful. Tell us about the wonderful lunch on June 3rd.
On June 3rd, we'll be gathering at Last House on All Hands Ecology's Bouverie Preserve there in Glen Ellen for an intimate picnic lunch to formally launch what will become the inaugural MFK Fisher Month. So there will be a gathering of people. It's really going to be our first opportunity to talk to people in person about what this foundation is, what we're doing, talk about the writing contest, talk about some of our other programs. But it's especially meaningful because we will be returning to Last House.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a wonderful experience, and they are preserving the bones of a wonderful little spot in the world where somebody could gather and welcome people the way MFK Fisher did. James Beard and Julia Child and Jacques Pepin, who was there with Kennedy not too long ago, and all these other wonderful luminaries but down-to-earth people who just gathered, I was going to say across a baguette, because sometimes that's how it is. I'm talking to Kennedy Golden, and she is the president of the MFK Fisher Foundation. Very exciting. I love the tiara and the little blazer, right? And she's the daughter of the late MFK Fisher. You lived with your mother in other places.
I did.
Where did you live?
Oh, my goodness. We lived in Southern California, and then we lived in the Napa Valley. We lived in St. Helena. We lived in Aix-en-Provence. We lived in Lugano, Switzerland. We lived in San Francisco. And then when I finished high school, we split, as parents and children do.
Yeah.
And she went south to Jackson, Mississippi to teach English for a couple of years, and I went off to college.
And you were at one of my favorite places on earth for many, many years.
I was. I had the fortune of being at Mills College as a staff member for, 43, 44 years.
Wow.
It was a fabulous experience, and I will always be grateful for that time.
And you bring so much of that to this. I mean, one of the things I really love about working with you and Alex is that you have I'm going to put it the way that makes sense to me, a gentle but deep understanding of academic and intellectual thought and sharing. You know, I mean, I think that's really what it is that I enjoy that kind of, I mean, I'm an English major. All I could afford to do is to get an undergraduate degree from San Francisco State University. And what I learned in English literature classes is how to learn, right? How to perceive, how to take it in, how to understand it. And in some cases, how to rearticulate it. And then as a consultant professionally, how to apply it to actual situations. And one of the things I love about the writing contest is the range of experience and the range of expression is astounding, isn't it?
Absolutely. And my mother was, her writing is accessible, I think, to everybody. It's timeless. It takes you where she is talking about. It gives you an understanding of how to live life to the fullest when you don't have as much as you might like or need. Need. I'm thinking about How to Cook a Wolf,
yeah,
which was written during World War II. And then she re-edited a little bit in 1951 because some of the things were a little too, needed some clarification.
Were they obscure or painful?
Or both.
Or both, yes. Yeah.
And so I have recently learned that from family and others that book is not so much about food. It's not so much about putting something in the pantry. It's about living. It's about how you can get through really, really tough times with the bare minimum and still live a good life.
Sonoma County is a good place for that, isn't it?
Oh, boy.
Right. We have agriculture. We have the raging shore. I mean, the shore can be pretty raging around here. And people sometimes say that we are north of San Francisco. But for me, this is the center surrounded by Marin County, Napa Valley, Mendocino, and the Pacific Ocean. And I think her writing and her work really reflects that. It reflects a whole region and the pieces that she wrote in the south of France, the pieces that she wrote in the Napa Valley, and many of which have been in magazines over the years, and you have some of those magazines in storage that are just Life magazine. Does anybody remember Look and Life and all those other wonderful things? All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more, and Alex is going to give us an update on MFK Fisher Month. It's been mentioned, but we're going to really talk about what it will mean, we hope, to celebrate MFK Fisher Month from June 3rd to MFK Fisher's birthday, July 3rd, after which I believe there may be fireworks. We'll be right back here at the table. Table, and Dolly Parton is nowhere to be found. I just love that little twang on that particular intro. All right, well, we're talking about MFK Fisher. We're talking about the MFK Fisher Foundation. We're speaking with Kennedy Golden, who is the daughter thereof, and also the president of the newly formed foundation, and Alex Wright, who is somewhere outside of Sacramento smiling at us from afar, and who has done such wonderful work, continues to do wonderful work in the world of graphics. Alex, share with us the poster of what's going to be displayed around, not just on the website, but in restaurants around the country for MFK Fisher Month. Tell us a little bit about who's doing what, as far as we know now, because of course, this is a month away and there's more detail to come.
Well, I will say one thing that I've always been aware of is how fortunate we are that my grandmother's life was so well documented, and it's well documented both obviously in her words, but in images as well. We've got photographs from around the world and across her lifetime. One of the pictures, one of the paintings from her husband, Dilwyn Parrish, is a beautiful picture. If anyone has seen a photograph of her beautiful Chinese red bathroom, there's a picture of her from behind that was painted. That is our image for this year's MFK Fisher Month, and it's just gorgeous, and it lends itself perfectly to this use. So just a little bit about MFK Fisher Month. It will start with the June 3rd picnic luncheon at Last House, and then it's going to continue across the country in a wave to invite as many people to the table as possible to celebrate MFK Fisher, her work, her enduring legacy. We've got some fantastic partners across the country. We will have events at Songbird Parlor in Glen Ellen, Foreign Cinema in San Francisco, Milestone, which is a restaurant here near the Sacramento area. There are two restaurants called How to Cook a Wolf, which is absolutely fantastic, in the Madison Park area of Seattle and in the Queen Anne area of Seattle, both of whom will be doing events. And then as we get further across the country, MFK, who has been a fantastic restaurant partner to us in the past, in Chicago, is also doing an event. So we're fantastically, exceptionally excited that all of those will be joining us for MFK Fisher Month. People are welcome and invited to attend those events, and we'll be rolling out information on the website and our social media about each of those events.
Well, what's wonderful is that
the whole event wraps up July 3rd, which would have been her 118th birthday.
Whoa, she's going to get carded. Yeah, no, all right. Well, what's wonderful is that this first year is a collection of restaurants where there's a direct personal connection. And the hope is in years to come, other people will come forward. All of the, and I need to say this because of my involvement, all of the formats, all of the events, whether they be lunches or dinners or dishes on the menu, it'll be very transparent as to what funds are going to go to the foundation. There's an agreement that people do, so you will know what's going on and what your part is. And then there will be other kinds of opportunities going forward. I mean, once this year happens, the possibility of other folks doing picnics, doing outings, doing cooking classes, doing all kinds of things, whatever they want to do, can be brought to the foundation, to the mfkfisher.org and or mfkfisherfoundation.org or mfkfisher.org, and then you're on the website and you can click the foundation. Wow.
I do want to add one other thing if I can. We know that not everybody happens to be in those areas where those restaurants are. I do invite you to subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on social media, keep watch on the website. We also have ways for individuals to celebrate in their own homes and to share that with us, and we'll be putting that out there over the coming weeks.
That sounds like a good idea.
We want everyone to be a part of this.
So, Kennedy, we three, with Jerry DeVecchio, who's also on our board, and Mark Tarpey-Schwed, who's also on the board, right, have been planning this picnic lunch. Talk a little bit about why we decided to call it a picnic lunch as opposed to a luncheon.
Well, that took some thought. And we started out with the luncheon and the catered luncheon, and that didn't feel right. And I've had a couple of occasions. I think the luncheon, the small luncheon that we did with Jacques Pepin, which was not open to the public, that was for Chef Pepin himself. He was in town, and I said, please come to the house. He had known my mother. And we had a meal that was something that she would have put on the table. We had ham and cheese sandwiches and a great big green salad. And so we are going to follow that same format. We're preparing a lunch, a picnic lunch, that will mimic something that guests would have experienced had they walked in her door when she lived there.
That's a really right idea, right? And her approach to food, even though it is often touted as memorable and benchmark, is really straightforward and down to earth, isn't it?
Oh, she was so simple. She really didn't like spending a whole lot of time cooking. She always wanted to have food ready to go when people came because she wanted to spend time with people over food, but not cooking while they were sitting in the living room. That just is something that was abhorrent to her. So, and the way her house is laid out, her kitchen is one end of the living room. So, you know, she and David Bouverie designed that in.
Yeah, it's so perfect. And I remember we did a fundraising lunch for the entire effort with Alice Waters. And we got a great donation of flowers from the farm next door. And I brought a bunch of pots and I just put the flowers in the pots just because it just seemed like the right thing to do. Not an arrangement, just some flowers in this vessel and that vessel. And you walked in and said, oh, my goodness.
It's perfect.
It was because your mother had a very aesthetic sense, but it was quite straightforward. Talk about the bathroom.
Talk about the bathroom. The bathroom at Last House is one of the most wonderful rooms I've ever been in. And it has a huge tub that juts out from one wall. The walls are all Chinese red. The bookcases inside are white. And it's tile on the floor and tile on the, you know, where tile needs to be in a bathroom. And one wall of it, when she lived there, was a wall of art. And because her second husband was a painter, and many people gave her art, she rotated that art on that wall over and over and over. I just saw a photograph of a whole different assortment of art than I've ever seen, which is absolutely wonderful. And I must say, All Hands, when we took all the art out, All Hands has done a beautiful job of maintaining the beautiful wall and the room and putting a very nice, simple piece of art on the wall, which is delightful.
Absolutely. And folks, you should understand that as we're sitting here in the studio at KSRO, there's a dark red wall behind Kennedy Golden, and it just makes such good sense. We will be right back here at the table. We are back at the table. I'm here with Kennedy Golden against a dark red wall. And she is the daughter of MFK Fisher and the president of the MFK Fisher Foundation. On the line is Alex Wright. He's the vice president and the grandson of MFK Fisher and involved very much with the foundation. Alex, you have the website there in front of you because, well, you created it and you maintain it and you keep it beautifully. But we want to remind people that the Emerging Writers Contest, the MFK Fisher 7th Annual Emerging Writers Contest, has a due date of May 25th. You've got to get your submissions in. You need to register and get on the website, mfkfisher.org, and click on the contest. Alex, you have that in front of you. Tell us some of the judges we've been able to wrangle in this year.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic list. We have Ruth Reichel. We have Gurdeep Loyal from the UK. Our cousin, Kennedy's cousin and mine, Luke Barr, who is author of a brand new book that just came out. Tom Gardali, who is the CEO of All Hands Ecology, home of Last House. Both of us, of course. And Florence Fabricant from the New York Times. Tim Donner from the Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau. It's just an exceptional list of individuals from all different backgrounds. Each of whom brings something different to that judging panel.
We love doing that. And our strategy over the years has been to get people from New York University, who may be a professor originally raised in Mumbai, to a writer and a critic who grew up in Singapore and Hong Kong. We every year have some friends and family, obviously, that we rotate through. And some folks who are in our local Northern California community, like Jerry DeVecchio, like Michelle Anna Jordan, like Kathleen Thompson Hill, who we ask every couple of years so that it's not onerous, and that way we can have other people from outside of our immediate family to welcome them into our ongoing family. Kennedy, what do you remember about the first few years of the writing contest that really struck you? Because every time we talk about it, you get very enthusiastic. And I love the fact that they're all coming to you, because folks, you should know the process is they all come in and then they go to Susan Ryan, who is the director of operations now for Riverkeeper, whose long history as a bookseller, quite frankly. And then she goes through them and I go through them and we vet them for the finalists. And then they go out to the judges. And Kennedy's been a judge every time. And now she's getting them and being very good about not opening them up and reading them. What's the experience like?
It's very challenging this year, but I'm certainly enjoying it. And I found a way to put a pile together and just peek at them randomly with no names. So, you know, I will hopefully see every single one of the ones that I have read. I know that that doesn't happen because we have too many submissions and we just can't get down to the top three with all of that without Susan Ryan's help. But from the very beginning, we had a couple of pieces of poetry at the beginning, and we realized that the judges really aren't poets or trained to look at poetry, so we've excluded poetry, which is kind of sad because it was fun.
Yeah.
But it's also smart. And I think just hearing the voices from all over the places, the ages, the cultures, the food, since we've gone with the elements, everybody has been touched by each of the elements.
Yeah.
And I think that's what gets them to enter the contest. And we really hope that people will tell friends and tell their children, tell their youth that this is something that's happening. It's happened 7 years now. And we want emerging writers to submit, because that's something that my mother was absolutely passionate about.
It's really very moving to see people or to read people's lives.
Yes.
Because that's what they're sharing, sometimes quite difficult, sometimes quite emotional and quite dramatic. And you know, just so that everyone knows, we are taking submissions that have not been published by people who don't make a living from writing. Those are the basic criteria. That's my interpretation of it. And that means that some of the technical stuff, even spelling, thank heavens, is not as important as voice, right? What we're looking for are people who reach us, who touch us, and who make us feel like we can hear them. And there's always a food and nature aspect to it because of where Last House is and because of Fisher's real connection to the physical experience of life. But the range is extraordinary. And I remember one year, the adults were kind of romantical and the children were kind of imaginative and lyrical. And the youth... were so dark that we had to kind of put some of them down because these mark times in our lives, right? And we experience them, and youth can be a tough time. Now, people should know that there is a first grand prize of $500 and second and third of $250 each. And what happens is the finalists are given to the judges. They judge. They each get to say their first, second, and third. And of the three first place prizes, they pick the one that they feel should be getting the grand prize. It's the MFK Fisher Emerging Writers Contest, the seventh annual. Go to mfkfisher.org or I don't know, just Google writing contest, and I bet you're going to see a picture that was captured and repurposed by Alex Wright beautifully. We'll be right back here with our last few moments talking about the Fisher Foundation and so much more that's good and lovely and wonderful at the table. Welcome back. I'm Clark Wolf, and we're at the table with Kennedy Golden and Alex Wright. They are the daughter and grandson of the late, great MFK Fisher. The seventh annual MFK Fisher Emerging Writers Contest is going on right now. The deadline is May 25th. You can go to mfkfisher.org and find out more and submit, register, get involved, maybe win a prize, but certainly get a response. And it will be the launch on June 3rd when we gather. It's pretty much sold out already, although maybe later in further years we'll have a bigger event at Last House on the Bouverie Preserve, thanks to All Hands Ecology's welcoming hospitality. That will launch the month, the MFK Fisher month, which will culminate on her birthday, July 3rd, at which time we will announce the winners from, we hope and we expect, all over the world and just down the road. Alex, tell us a little bit about why this is such an important effort.
Well, I think one of the things that people get from my grandmother's work was a sense of the conversation and the meaning and what is revealed when we gather around a table together, the conversations that provokes and what it reveals about us, what it reveals about being human. And so the foundation exists to continue those conversations. Fisher Month exists to expand those tables. And so we want to bring everyone to the table, to a larger table, and give them a voice in those conversations. It's our mission, it's our hope that we can continue to grow that conversation.
And how do we find out more information, and how do we sign up for the newsletter, which is beautiful, by the way, every month that we get that, I just get so happy, and other activities.
mfkfisher.org. You can find everything there. You can find an archive of our past newsletters. You can subscribe to receive them on the day they come out, which is usually the first of the month, but for the next couple months, and we'll share why it's going to be the third of the month. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at MFK Fisher Author. And that is about the source of everything that we share. It's either on social media or on the website or in our newsletter.
That is so wonderful. Kennedy, you talked about the lunch with Jacques Pepin, and you were, of course, there with Alice Waters, and we had Marion Nestle there, too. We're going to be having the occasional event there, aren't we? Thanks to Tom.
Thanks to All Hands Ecology and Tom Gardali and his staff. hopefully there will continue to be smaller events. This luncheon on June 3rd is about as large as we're able to be because the room only holds so many people.
Yeah, but when they're there, they're happy. We're going to have a picnic. We're going to celebrate being together. We're going to celebrate MFK Fisher, and we're going to celebrate all the things that bring us right back where we need to be at the table.
Absolutely.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You'd be in paradise and put up a fucking line.